Joel chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." I want to read that one more time from the Complete Jewish Bible. "Blow the shofar in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the living in the land tremble, for the day of Adonai is coming. It's up on us." Now I advise you, when you get home, to read at least through verse 11 of this chapter and find out really what's taking place here, because we're going to go into another part of the scripture. You know, the book of Numbers is the first place in chapter 5, I believe it is, where that they talk about sounding an alarm. And I know there are times here we talk about how Hebrew words get translated and so on, and what they were translated from. And most of the time when you read the word trumpet in the Bible, it is translated, especially in the Old Testament, it is translated from the Hebrew word shofar. And shofar is a ram's horn, basically. It's curved. It can be various different little bits of shapes and sizes. But that's what they primarily are talking about. But here in Numbers, we find a trumpet that even in the Complete Jewish Bible is translated trumpet, because it was not a shofar. And I don't have the Hebrew word here this morning, but in this particular case, God spoke to Moses. And he says in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 2, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, for thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeyings of the camp." So there's one place at least where it talks about that they're going to use these trumpets that are made of silver. They're not what we typically think of the shofar. And they are to use these trumpets for specific purposes. In verse 4 it says, "And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, and which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee." So this trumpet, when it was sounded, they could recognize this tone, this message that came from this trumpet, that it was an alarm telling them that they, as the princes of Israel, were to assemble themselves together. Then it goes on in another portion here, in verse 5 through 8, it tells us of other instructions. But then in verses 10, or chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "And the sons of Aaron and the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations." They are told that they are to sound these instruments as an alarm. It can be an alarm to gather together of certain groups of the people. It can be an alarm to break camp and get up and move on. And it can also be an alarm that it's time to go to battle. So they were used to sound the alarm. In verse 9 it says, "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." So when that alarm sounded on those trumpets, they knew it was time to go to battle. And they also knew that they were serving God, and they were following God's plan and doing what God spoke to them to do, that God was on their side and he was marching into battle with them. The alarm has been sounded throughout history. Remember, the trumpets were blown. Now, whether this was a shofar or the silver trumpets, I don't know. I know I looked it up in the Hebrew, and the Hebrew word says shofar in this particular case. So I believe it was the ram's horns that were being sounded. But they marched around Israel. Or excuse me, they marched around Jericho. What? Once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day they did what? They marched around 7 times, and they blew the trumpets. There was that great shout that went up, and victory was on their side because the walls collapsed. except for one little portion. Don't forget that. One little portion stayed put, and that's where Rahab was at. And she was the one that had helped the spies, and God had made a promise that she was going to be saved alive, and she was saved alive. Her and her family were there. But the sound was of the trumpet was made, and victory was won because God was on their side. In Judges, we read where God prepares Gideon to bring deliverance from Israel. And in Judges chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him." And we are told that they went into battle because they blew the trumpet. We're also told in chapter 7, verse 18, he says, "When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon." I got news for you. Oh, I tell you, I have a feeling that when the enemy was down there and these people gathered around, and it was only about 300 of them here, and they've got this massive enemy army down here, and they, in the middle of the night, basically, they all of a sudden rise up and blow the trumpets and shout, "In the sword of the Lord and Gideon." It probably scared half those people half to death. Can you imagine that? What's going on here? And there's such confusion that they turned upon one another even. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. Boy, those Midianite soldiers were in a big hurry to get out of there. Let's go, let's run, flee for your lives. In a lot of places throughout the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, we're told where an alarm was sounded before special events, and especially battles. Sound the alarm. We're going into battle. God is on our side as they marched into battle. But you also find out something, too, when they were disobedient to God. They could sound the alarm all they wanted to, and they went into battle, and they got defeated. Because you've got to do it with God on your side. But when God is on your side, though, victory is assured. That's right. Victory is assured when God is on your side. Is God on your side today? I sure hope so. Because we got some battles coming up. We've been in some battles. You know, looking back into history, and we go a long ways back, looking back to the time of Moses, but let's, coming from that forward even in our own country, just as little as less than 100 years ago. Remember the Westerns used to watch on TV? The Cowboys and Indians movies? You know, and there would always be this battle. There had to always be a battle of some sort there with the Cowboys and Indians movie, you know. And the soldiers, they ride out to battle, and the trumpet or the bugle is being blown. And I'm not going to try to imitate it here because I'd probably run all of you off if I did. But the bugle is blown and the charge is made. And they go forth into battle. So sounding an alarm is something that's been going on for years and years and years. They rode into battle at the sound of the alarm. And we are in battle today. The United States has been in many battles. Read about them in history. From the day of our founding, we've been in battles. And even though we're at a situation where some people were trying to get out of a situation that we're into, and we do this and we do that, and we got leftover things hanging on us from almost 50 years ago of battles that took place. There were truces that were signed or okay, let's just call it a halt to this for now, and we'll settle these things. You know what? We've still got trouble going on between North and South Korea because we never did get out of that thing right. We didn't get out of Vietnam right. And the mess we're in right now, if we aren't careful, if we don't do what God leads us to do, we're not going to get out of it right either. These battles are going on. But I'm not just talking about battles like this. I'm talking about spiritual battles as well. How many of you know that sometimes we get involved in spiritual battles? And if you're serving God, I'm going to guarantee you at some point in your life as a Christian, you're going to be involved in some spiritual battles. There's going to be some spiritual warfare that you're going to have to do. There used to be a church up in Brentwood, Tennessee, and they had purchased a large former Baptist church building, and I happened to know a member of the Baptist church that had been there, and they went in and they remodeled the church, and he was complaining to me. Well, they went in there and they painted the walls this color, and they got this place, they call it the War Room. Well, I knew what they were talking about because they were preparing to do some spiritual battle. And it's time we have to realize sometimes we've got to get some orders from the war room. Amen. Because we're going to be fighting these battles. When you're in the military, you get trained. They don't just say, hey, you, guess what? You just got drafted. You're in the Army now. Well, yeah, they might do that part, but then they go ahead and say, okay, but now you got to go through this basic training, and you got to learn how to be a soldier. And before you can be the soldier we want you to be, we're going to break you down. And boy, are they good at it. They know their job, and they do it well. But when you come out of there, you know how to go into battle. I know I've always I've joked with a few people. I was trained as a combat. I was as a medic, as a combat medic. I was drafted into the Army. I didn't want to go in the Army. And I went in as a conscientious objector, and I'm not ashamed of saying that. I didn't want to have to kill anybody. So I went in that way. So I was never trained with a weapon. My ammo pouches had candy bars in them. Finally, they took my ammo pouches away. But you know what they told us? They said, we don't care if you don't want to kill anybody. We also know that times can happen. When you're put into positions, it's either going to be you or them. And you might want to know how to defend yourself. So I've told people, yes, I was never given a weapon. I was never given a gun. But I was trained how to kill a man with my bare hands. Seems kind of odd, doesn't it? But they were getting us ready. And they knew the moment might come that if we wanted to save our own life, we might need to know how to do that. Well, in this spiritual battle, we better be trained and we better prepared for what the enemy is going to bring against us. Because I got news for you. You see, when I was a kid, I didn't like to get in fights. I tried to avoid fights. And I remember I got into one fight in junior high school. And it was right at the end of lunch period. And this was one of the school tough guys. And we never came to real blows, much more than shoving. But the bell rang. Lunch period was over. And I looked at him and I said, okay, we can continue this because the teacher's going to come around the corner any minute. We can continue this and both get kicked out of school, or we can call it quits. Which do you want to do? And he walked away. One of my feelings, if I got into battle, if I had to get into a fight, what do you mean fight fair? If I got to fight somebody, I'm going to fight with whatever means I've got available to me. I'll be frank with you. Remember back, you watch history and you watch the British and the as how they came when they were fighting in the Revolutionary War, and they would stand up and fire all of them in a line. And then the next side was supposed to stand up and fire. And what got to them was the fact that the Americans learned from the Indians how to fight battles, and they didn't fight that way. They said when they stood up in a line, well, let's shoot right now. You know? Well, the devil doesn't fight fair either. Don't expect that he's going to fight fair. He's not going to say, Anthony, I want to do battle with you, so can I sock you in the mouth right now?
No.
He's not going to do that. He's going to walk up and say, Anthony, how you doing? And bam, while Anthony's not paying attention, lower the boom on him. The devil's not going to fight fair. It's made very clear in the book of Daniel that spiritual warfare takes place. Daniel is told in chapter 10, verses 12, 13, and this is an angel speaking. He says, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I came for thy words. Daniel, you prayed, you asked for something, and I came immediately, except, next verse, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And he doesn't mean some prince that was living in the capital of Persia at that time. He meant the spiritual prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed him. He says here, he withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. I had to have help to get here. So the devil is trying his best to prevent your answers to prayer. He's trying to prevent you from doing the things that God wants you to do. He's trying to do his best to prevent you from being the Christian that God wants you to be. He's trying to prevent you from being the person that you should be. Because it's a battle. It's a battle that's gone on and on and on. Now, why did this battle take place? Because Daniel tells us in chapter 14, or verse 14 of chapter 10, he says, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall the people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Daniel, what you're going to see here is going to be some of the things that are going to take place in the latter days. It's for days that are coming and are still to come. Daniel, there's going to be some spiritual battles take place. There's going to be some physical battles take place. You know, from the hour that Adam and Eve sinned against God and partook of the forbidden fruit, this battle for man's soul has raged. Satan has desired you so he can basically stand up to God and say, nah, 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 nah. He wants his best to make God look stupid. He wants his best to make God look like a fool, but it ain't going to happen. I don't care how hard he tries, it's never going to happen. Not only did Daniel have a message or an alarm for the ages to come, but the same message or alarm was given to other prophets of God that were in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Zephaniah chapter 1 verses 14 through 18 says this, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedier riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Zephaniah prophesied there is a day that's coming that those who have sinned against God, those who have not followed God, God's wrath is going to be poured out upon them. And I got news. It's about to happen. We're seeing things happen that people thought would never happen anymore. Oh, we got into this deal about global warming and all that, and I think a lot of what they talked about was a farce, quite honestly. But I've got news for you. The Bible tells us going to be a coming a day when the sun will be so hot that it will scorch men. There's coming a day, the Bible tells us, that there will be dramatic climactic changes. There's coming a day when there will be earthquakes that will be the mother of all earthquakes. There's coming a day when there will be great storms that will take place that unlike anything that we've had before, because the Bible tells us it's going to happen as God's wrath begins to be poured out upon planet Earth. Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21. Yeshua himself even speaks of the signs or alarms of what will take place in the latter days as were prophesied. Isaiah, for example, in chapter 13, verse 6 says, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as destruction from the Almighty." Joel chapter 1, verse 15, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Zephaniah 1:7, "Hold thy peace and the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has bid his guests." And John in the book of Revelations tells us of some of the events that will transpire in those last days before Jesus makes his physical, bodily return to planet Earth. And that's going to happen someday. And not in the too distant future. You know, a trumpet doesn't blow itself. Anybody ever see a nice golden trumpet set on a stage somewhere and play itself? No. It has to have somebody pick it up and put the mouthpiece up to their lips and begin to blow on that trumpet for it to make a noise. If I were to pick up a trumpet and blow on it, I'd be lucky probably if I could make a noise. Because it takes some skill and it takes some talent to be able to do it. But they begin to put forth beautiful music, or they can also put forth that alarm. And we as born again believers are called to the task of sounding the alarm of what is taking place in these days and the days that are to come. You know, in the days past, cities had watchmen, and it was their task to look for trouble and to sound the alarm when they saw it coming. In other words, the watchman, back in Bible times, was upon the wall, they tell us. And if he saw the enemy beginning to approach, he sounded an alarm. And that alarm, he didn't yell, "The enemy's coming, the enemy's coming." He blew a trumpet, and they knew from the sound of that trumpet what was taking place. Even back to the Old West, the soldiers at the fort, there was somebody watching. And if the enemy came, they sounded an alarm. And people heard the noise of that alarm as it went forth. Even today, as we go into the modern age and we find that there are various ways of sounding an alarm. I know Steve here was in the Navy, and in the Navy I know there's an alarm that gets sounded every once in a while. It's a klaxon horn, and when they sound that alarm by the different sounds it makes, they know exactly what's about to take place. You can hear a horn going down the street, that alarm, that siren, and you know it's a fire truck, or you know it's a police car, and you know that an emergency is happening because the alarm is being sounded. And we are to sound that alarm today as Christians and let people know that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. Are we sounding the alarm? It's sad to say there's a lot of people out there that are quote unquote Christians that are not sounding the alarm. There's churches out there that are not sounding the alarm. But Jesus told us the day was going to come, and he told us the signs of the times that would take place. And as we see the signs, we are to sound the alarm that he's about to return, and everybody's to get ready. Because if you're not ready, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. It's just as plain and simple as that. If you're not ready, you're not going to go. Are you ready? for the day of the Lord to come? Are you ready? If you're not ready, then I have two words for you. Be ready. I know I heard somebody debating the other day, and they were debating pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture, and one person simply said at the end of it, well, he said, God told me when he was going, what to do and when it was going to happen. And he said, what did they tell you? And he said, he told me to be ready. And that's the whole thing in a nutshell. We need to be ready when Jesus comes. We don't need to say, oh, well, he's coming maybe. Let's see. Well, I got this much time left. I can squeak right up to the very end. And at the very last moment, I'll get ready. It doesn't always work out that way. Don't take a chance on it. We need to be ready now because the Bible tells us he will come in the hour when we think not. I think that kind of rules out December 21st, 2012, but he could come before then. And he might come after that. I don't know. But I do know he said he's coming. He said, I'm coming back for you. And I'm going to take you to a place that I prepared for you. I've got a place prepared that you can't even imagine prepared for you. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready because he is coming and he is coming soon. And if you're listening to me today by some means other than being here in this auditorium, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to impress upon you today, today is your day. I know some people and some preachers have said, today is your day for healing, today is your day for this, your day for that. I've got news for you, today is your day for salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day to get ready. Today is the day to be ready. And you can simply do that by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. And saying, Jesus, I give up. I'm yours. I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I accept that you paid the price. I ask you now to take over, to come into my heart, my life, and help me to be the child of God that you want me to be. And Father, I thank you right now for what you're going to do. I thank you now, Father, as we commit this message, Father, to go forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.